Matthew writes, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." And so Jesus came into the world full of compassion, full of mercy, full of grace. And so Jesus came into the world proclaiming the kingdom of God with signs and wonders. To the sick, he brought healing. To the sinner, he brought forgiveness. To the brokenhearted, he brought hope. And to all who believed, no matter how little or weak their faith was, he brought new life. And so Jesus came into the world, God with us, God for us, God of compassion, God who came to rescue the harassed and the helpless. In Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God dawned on the world with a power and a fury and a beauty like we have never seen before and will never see again. And it wasn't to the well that Jesus came. Not to those who were right with God did he come to heal. Not to the pure and the righteous, but to the harried and the helpless, to the sinner, to the broken, to the sick and the suffering. Those are the ones to whom Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom. And when the Pharisees criticized Jesus for eating with sinners, he said, "Those who are well have no need for a doctor, but those who were sick. So go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." You know, sometimes life is going along just fine and you have it all together. Life is good, beautiful even. Good grades, good job, good family. Life is good. As for the sinners, well, those are the people next door, right? And in the newspaper, those are the liars and the thieves and the cheaters and the criminals and those dirty dogs that are always in trouble. Those are the sinners, not us. And yet, Jesus came to us as well as them. Not to those other people did Jesus come, but to us. Not to just the people out there, but to us in here as well. Never forget your roots. Never forget who you were. Never forget where you came from. Never forget that once you were far from God. Never forget that once you were one of those people, one of those harried and helpless sheep. Never forget that at one point in your life, your spirit cried out to God for salvation. Never forget that it was your spirit as well that once said to God, "Take me, Lord, just as I am, and make me whole. Heal me. Make me alive, truly alive. Just as I am, Lord, in my sin, in my guilt, take me and make me beautiful." Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Not only is that good news, but it is the best possible news for us. Notice that Paul says we, not they, but we. Just so that we won't forget that we're included in that list of sinners and ungodly ones. Just so that we won't forget that it was for each one of us as well that Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God. That it was for each one of us that Christ came to die. Oh, we may be doing fine now. We may be all better. But at one time, we were suffering from a pretty serious pre-existing condition. A pre-existing condition more fatal than any physical disease. But unlike Blue Cross or your HMO or whatever your insurance policy is, God's love and mercy and grace in Jesus Christ do in fact cover all pre-existing conditions. And there's no deductible and there's no copay. The good news of the gospel is that in Jesus Christ we are accepted and loved and forgiven just as we are. No physical exam required, no small print, no exclusions. You cannot be turned down for any reason. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's a story told of a man who had fought for 5 years in the Polish underground during World War II. And at the war's end, he was captured by the Russian army and had to stand trial for war crimes and was accused of collaborating with the Nazis. Well, 15 out of the 16 men captured with him broke under the pressure, but he did not break, even after 70 days and nights of questioning. His tormentors examined what he had done or hadn't done over and over again in his life. Well, his interrogators advised him to plead guilty so they could lessen his sentence. Otherwise, he'd die. But the man refused. He said he hadn't been a traitor and couldn't confess something he didn't do. So he pleaded not guilty at his trial, and because of the foreign observers, he was eventually let go. But people were impressed with the way that he witnessed to his Christian faith. Because when his accusers pointed out his weaknesses, he freely admitted them. He presented himself to God and his accusers in absolute honesty. When they showed me a coward, I already knew it. When they showed me a reflection of myself with all of my inadequacies, I said to them, "But gentlemen, I am much worse than that. For you see, I've learned that it was unnecessary to justify myself. Someone has already done that for me, Jesus Christ." But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's it. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's the good news of Jesus Christ in one sentence. And no one has ever said it more completely or cleanly. So what if we were to believe it? What if we were to actually take Paul's words seriously? What if we really did stop and take a good hard look at ourselves? Would we be able to recognize and accept our own sinfulness? Would we be able to admit how undeserving we are of God's gift of salvation? And if we could accept all of that, would we be able and willing to accept the fact that that very same good news that has saved us belongs to all of those other ungodly people that we run across every single day? Would we be ready and willing to accept the fact that God accepts everyone else as well? No questions asked, just as they are? You see, if we were to accept all of that, and we'd have to get serious about our true calling. When we can accept our unconditional forgiveness, then we have to get serious about what we're going to do about it. And get serious about what God wants us to do with our lives. Our true work, the work that Jesus Christ has given to all of us who were formerly sick. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Remember those words. Because that's what your real profession is, your true career. The real path for your life, no matter where you go to school or what job you may take, no matter what you choose to study, the bottom line is that you are sent out into the harvest. Now, I know that seems a little scary, and it seems like God is asking you to do something like give up all you have and go and be a missionary in some dark and distant, steamy jungle kind of place. But that isn't always the case. God calls each one of us to go and help in the harvest. And for each one of us here this morning, young or old, working or retired, the call is different for each of us. And only God knows what path your life may take or what God is asking you to consider. But you are asked to go and to work. And no matter what that call means for you, and where your walk with God may take you, all of us that labor for the Lord are called to walk a certain way. We should all remember who we are and where we came from. We should remember that we were once lost before God's grace in Jesus Christ came and rescued us in the midst of our sin and our brokenness. And God calls us to walk with that same compassion, that same mercy, that same forgiveness that we were freely given, because that's the way that Jesus lived when he lived among us and reached out to us in our sin and our sickness. And God reassures us that we will be given all that we need to do our job. When he sent out the 12 to proclaim the good news, they were sent out with nothing but the clothes on their backs because God would provide what they needed. You know, when it's all said and done, people will judge you and judge you harshly, and they won't judge you by what you've said, but by what you've done or failed to do. They'll judge your actions more than your words, because in the long run, people don't remember what you've said to them as much as they remember how you've treated them. And the good news of the kingdom is proclaimed just as powerfully by actions as by words. The people in Jesus' time may not have remembered how he spoke of the Father's kingdom, but for those who were healed and brought back to life and forgiven, for those whom Jesus touched with his hands, well, they never forgot what Jesus meant by the kingdom. Remember, one of the biggest ways that the world out there learns about our God, the God of mercy and forgiveness, is through you, through your words, and most importantly, through your deeds. And that is how they will learn about the kingdom of God. So as you go out into the harvest, remember that. So go out boldly. Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Talk about overwhelming. What? You don't think you're ready for that yet? Then you don't know about the love and the power of our God. Amen.